Last week we began to study the theme of enjoying God, and my purpose, my prayer during this month is simply this: to free you up and to enjoy God as your God. And you remember last week we began with the foundation of our happiness, and maybe you'll remember that the foundation of our happiness is God's sovereign joy in Himself. And I labored to prove to you that God is a happy God, based on Psalm 115, verse 3, which says that our God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases. And I pointed out that a God who has all the power and all the wisdom to do whatever He wants must be the happiest being that there is. And God is happy. And more than that, that God delights to display His attributes to us, and how that should affect and affect deeply our prayer lives, our devotional lives, our worship. I mean, when you begin to remember, when you begin to think, God is on a mission to delight Himself by displaying Himself before us, then that should radically affect the way that we pray. We should think to ourselves when we pray, you know, God really wants to reveal Himself to me. God wants to come, and God wants to bless me. And when it comes to the worship of God, same idea. God wants to delight Himself in the display of who He is. And so I have to put myself before God and see all that He has to show me. And so just bearing that in mind should fill us with deep joy and happiness. So the foundation this week and in the week to come, next week, we're going to be looking at the formation of our happiness. And last week it was the foundation. This week and next, it's the formation of our happiness. And what I mean by that is, how do we practically enjoy God? I'm taking as my overarching verse, my overarching theme, Psalm 34, verse 8, which says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." In other words, God wants us to savor and see His goodness. Why? That we might enjoy Him. We enjoy what is good. Enjoyment is based on goodness. And here the psalmist says, taste, savor, and see, experience, discover, find out for yourself that the Lord is good. Enjoy Him, essentially. And this evening we're looking at how you do that. And so I've asked you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 27. And we're going to look specifically at just one verse, Psalm 27, verse 4. And we simply read these words from the psalmist. "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord." How do we enjoy God? You do it by enjoying, by beholding the beauty of God. Amen. I'm not done. I'm going to pray, though, and receive God's blessing. Father in heaven, we pray now that You will open up Your Word to our eyes, that we would see wonderful things within it. And Lord God, You know my heart, my desire is to see Your people more fully enjoying You, more fully freed up to do that. And so, Lord, to that end, move us along by Your Word tonight, that we would find ourselves caught up, swept away with the greatness of Your beauty and enjoying You as never before. We know, Lord, that this is Your will, because You call us to taste and see that the Lord is good, and we worship You and praise You as our great God. God, You are beautiful to us. And we thank You for what You'll do this evening and what You'll say to us and how You'll change us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, I like beautiful things, do you? I like beautiful things. In fact, I like to stare at beautiful things. How about you? I do. I really do. It gives me pleasure. How about you? Do you not derive a kind of pleasure and enjoyment from staring at beautiful things? Absolutely. There's a little park that I go to, the forest, really, every day, and I walk through this place, and it's a little bit of a sanctuary for me. I live in a suburban area with a lot of houses and buildings, and yet, amazingly, there's a little green patch, and I go down there every day, about a mile or so. It meanders through the woods, and there I can see, you know, evergreens and beautiful trees, and there's all kinds of wildlife, all kinds of really interesting birds to see, and there's a river that kind of winds its way through this green space. It's Edenic. It's a beautiful little place. It's a place I go to get away, to be still, and pray. And I love that place. And I love just to walk around and to see it and to smell it. And it evokes a sense of pleasure within me. I love to look at beautiful things. I love to look at my wife. I love to look at my children. I love to look at Micah, her smooth, round face. It makes me laugh. It evokes a sense of pleasure. Webster's Dictionary defines pleasure or beauty this way: a combination of qualities, a shape, proportion, color, in human face or form, or in other objects, that delights the sight. That delights the sight. That which delights the sight. That's how Webster defines beauty. That which delights the sight. I'm not exactly sure why we respond to beauty the way that we do, but you can't deny it. It delights us. It evokes pleasure and enjoyment. My hunch is this, that we've been hardwired by God, programmed, configured to respond to beauty the way that we do. It evokes pleasure. And more than that, I believe this, that the pleasure and the joy that we experience in this life is directly proportionate to the beauty we behold. Let me say it again. The pleasure we enjoy is directly proportionate to the beauty we behold. In other words, there's a greater enjoyment to be had by looking at the surf coming in than by maybe one grain that surf throws onto the beach. The greater the object of beauty, the more intense is our enjoyment. Now listen, if that's true, and it is, and I believe it, that must mean that the greatest enjoyment, the greatest pleasure to be had by far and away, comes by beholding that which is most beautiful, which is God Himself. Which means that if we are to experience maximum joy and happiness, it comes by staring, by gazing, by looking at God who is most beautiful. Does that make sense? That's why the psalmist says, one thing I want, one thing I desire. What's that? That I might behold the beauty of the Lord, right? That's what he wants to see. I want to see the beauty of God. And as we see that, then we experience joy. We're enjoying God. I'm asking the question tonight, how do we practically enjoy God? And the answer is this: by beholding Him. By beholding His beauty. You say, well, how do you do that? After all, I can't see God, right? That poses a bit of a problem, maybe. Not really. I don't think David could see God when he said this. I mean, I don't get the impression that when Jesus said, one thing I want is to go into the temple and to see God with my eyes. You saw God with your eyes. Guess what happens to you? You die. And so when Paul, or when David says, one thing I want, one thing I desire, to behold the beauty of God, I don't think that's what he meant. I think what he meant was that the eyes of his soul, his spiritual eyes, would see the beauty of God. I think it's what Paul means in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, when he prays for the church in Ephesus, what? That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. What does that mean? Well, basically, that you would think right thoughts about God. That God-shaped thoughts would click in your mind, that you have a more complete understanding of who God is, right? Until you're absolutely enamored and wowed by the beauty of God. And so tonight, here's what I want to do. For just a few brief minutes, I want us to look at the beauty of God. I'll tell you why. Because I want you to be wowed, on the one hand. On the other, I want you to begin a practice that maybe you're not accustomed to in your prayer life. And that is taking time to do nothing other than behold the beauty of God. And in doing so, to enjoy Him. Okay? I know the temptation when we go to God in prayer is, oh God, please do this, do this, do that. But listen, what I'm arguing for is, no, that's the mature prayer life. The mature prayer life is a life that not only seeks to get and to benefit from God, but to behold the beauty of God. To be still and know that He's God and to be entranced by His beauty. To allow the eyes of our souls to linger and gaze upon His beauty. Are you with me? Okay, tonight we're looking at the beauty of God. And what I want to do is just roll over His attributes just briefly and just get caught up in the beauty of our God. When we look at God by faith, we see, first of all, His independence. His independence. God does not rely on anybody outside of Himself. And as I talk about these attributes of God, I just want you to contrast yourself with who God is. Okay? God does not rely on anybody outside of Himself. Can you understand that? Can you grasp that? That is so far removed from what we know, from what we experience. Every morning, I go to a coffee shop and I order a tall, bold coffee. Do you know what is required to get that coffee into my hands? Some poor bloke down in South America is picking beans, processing those beans. They're shipped up here. They're ground by somebody working in the store. The water comes down. It goes into a cup. And then I need a farmer, I need a cow to get me the cream to put into my coffee cup, which was many. It just goes on and on, and that's us. Do you realize how dependent you are on people for everything that you do? If you were to stop and think about the clothes that you're wearing, the food that you've eaten, the houses you live in, or what's required for those things to come to pass, but we are so wildly dependent on other people, not God. God doesn't rely on anybody. He causes all things to rely on Himself, every single thing, all things. God says, I am your God, and you're the sheep of my pasture. Isn't that wild? Isn't that great? Isn't that beautiful? He's independent. And He's immutable. You know what that means? He doesn't change. He doesn't change at all. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Psalm 102, verse 27 says, you are the same. You don't change. You change, don't you? Every year, you change. And you're not getting any younger. Your plans change. Some of you disagree. Your plans change, your dreams change, your desires change, your body changes. Everything about you is in a state of change. Not God. God never changes. His being never alters. His purposes, His plans, nothing changes about God. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Did you get that? Do you understand that? I'm glad you do, because I don't. I have no idea. That's just so wildly beyond my comprehension. A God who doesn't change. I mean, thankfully he doesn't, because I can trust Him. Right? He's immutable and changeable. And He's infinite, without limitations. Without limitations. Which means that in respect to time, He's eternal. He's not time-bound. You're time-bound. I'm time-bound. We move according to a succession, a linear succession of minutes. And we will always be time-bound. Not God. He's outside of time. He's not controlled by time. He made time. He's eternal. And He's immense. He's omnipresent. He's not limited by space. Do you want to know something? If you went to the very end of the universe, you would not get to the end of God. He goes on. He's outside of space limitations. Amazing, isn't it? He's infinite. One of the most amazing statements that you'll ever find is this, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. In the beginning God. Before time, before space, before anything, God was infinite. And that's beautiful. That's amazing. Think about His personality. He's not a force. He's a personal being with self-consciousness and a will. He makes decisions. And that means He can enter into a relationship. He's a personal God. He's a personal God. We're told in the Bible He has personal names. This is a God with whom you can have a relationship. God of personality. And a God of spirituality. God doesn't have a body like you do. You know that? He's a spiritual being. John chapter 4, verse 24 says that God is spirit. He exists, but He doesn't have a body like us. God is not made up of parts. Even His attributes, we would be wrong to think that God is the sum of His attributes. Because every attribute comprises God in His totality. Isn't that mind-blowing? God is a spiritual being. God is a God of rationality. God knows everything about Himself and about everything else, both actual and possible. Let that sink in for a second. God knows everything about Himself and about you, about all things actual and possible. The possibilities are infinite. God knows everything. There's nothing that God doesn't know. There are no surprises when it comes to God. God is never, well, I didn't know that. How much do you know? So if you know a lot, but you know what compared to God, you know nothing. We often don't understand a lot about who God is. We often don't really understand who we are. But God knows who you are. He knows you perfectly. He has perfect knowledge. Psalm 139, verse 3 says, "You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it all together." He knows absolutely everything. Everything. He's a rational God. He's a moral God. Look at His morality. When we think of morality, you normally think of compliance to some external law, not with God. There is no external law that God adheres to. God is accountable to nobody but Himself. He's responsible to no one else but Himself. The law is a revelation of His nature. God is a good and holy and righteous and just God in all His ways. Did you catch that? In all His ways. There's no darkness in God. There's no sin. Psalm 90, verse 15, "The Lord is upright and there is no unrighteousness in Him." What about you? Any of you got some sin here tonight? God has none. He is absolutely perfect and holy and upright. And He's sovereign, all-powerful, all-wise. You want proof? Psalm 115, verse 3, "Our God is in the heavens." Guess what? He does what? Whatever He pleases. You try doing that sometime. Guess what? It won't work. Our God's in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases. Now, why am I going over this with you tonight? Why have I just laid out before you what theologians call the communicable attributes of God, those things where we most closely resemble our Maker, and the incommunicable attributes of God, those things where we most don't resemble our Creator? Why? That's right. Because when we stare at Him, we're staring at beauty. Now, I'll be honest with you tonight. I don't for a second pretend to have portrayed this God in a way that maybe just catches or makes you lose your breath. And I'm still learning who this God is. But one thing I know is this, that the more that I fill my mind with who God is, the more I think about who He is, the more joy I experience because I know I'm staring at pure beauty. And here's my encouragement for you as you go to God in prayer. You know that temptation you have to say, God, would you please? Can you just hold up on that request and instead take something that I've looked, or we've looked at tonight, one of His attributes, and just day by day begin to fill your mind with one of these attributes, God's holiness, His blazing, perfect, radiant holiness. Never sins, never fudges, never compromises. And just to get yourself into that, throw yourself into that amazing attribute and just stay there and dwell on it and meditate on it. You know, I think that if we would give ourselves this, not only would we experience more joy in our lives, but a lot of the problems that we go through, that we struggle with, man, they become like non-problems. Now, how many of you often get into a situation where you're just totally stressed out, and you go to God, you say, oh God, I got this problem, and oh God, what are you going to do about this, and oh God, please save me, and God, have mercy. And you know, what if we were to stop and just say, okay, God, You are in the heavens. You do whatever You want. And You are sovereign, and You have all the power, and You are all wise, and You will only do what is right and what's good, and the whole universe is in Your hands, and You can do whatever You please. And when we start thinking big thoughts about God like that, guess what? You know the bill that you need to pay? That you're a little bit short on? Hey, look, God's going to take care of it. No problem for the God who has the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the beasts of the field. You see, thinking bigger thoughts about God. Listen, what I'm encouraging you to do is this. Stop living as though you're atheists. An atheist has no thought of God in his mind. That's not who you are. You're children of God. You and I have got to be thinking big thoughts about our God. So big, in fact, that we say, wow! God, You are so awesome and so wonderful. And I'll be honest with you. How many of you just get plain bored living? Bored. How many of you get tired of the tedium of life? The old rigmarole, the old grind, the old wake up, shower, brush my teeth, go to school, go to work, get tired, come home, eat my meal. I mean, it can be so wearing. We need to bring big thoughts of God into our lives and into our hearts. Friends, stop settling for the beauty of this life, which can never bring full enjoyment. And we've got to stop being so insane on that level. Because the danger, I think, is always be focusing on that which is beautiful in this life, but which can never bring about real joy in our hearts. And to get our eyes fixed in that place where, yeah, we see Him and we begin to experience real delight and real beauty. And friends, I'll tell you something. This week, I made it my mission to be doing this, to be dwelling on the attributes of God, just running them over in my mind And I'll tell you something, this makes a difference. It does. I'm not suggesting that I'm getting it all right or getting it all perfect, but I'm telling you there is a joy to be had when the people of God will stop and behold the beauty of their God. That which delights the sight. So here we go, tomorrow, tonight even, this week, as you meet with your God in prayer, can I encourage you to do this? Can I encourage you to do this? Pick one of those attributes. Think of an issue that's relevant to your life, one that an attribute of God would correspond to. I know they're all relevant. But just take time in your prayers as you begin to dwell upon that attribute and study it and get into it. I believe this, friends, if we will do this, that God will reveal more of Himself to us. Do you believe that? If we seek to know God more deeply, do you believe that God will reveal Himself to us more and more? I believe that. I learned that from bird watching. There used to be a day when I wouldn't see any birds because I wasn't looking for them. And then I began to get serious about God's creation, about birds in particular. You wouldn't believe the things that God brings my way now, the things that I see. The same it goes with God. Those who are interested in seeing God and beholding His beauty, get ready. God will reveal Himself to you and reveal Himself to you in a way where you become increasingly enamored with what you see of Him. And God will do that. So there's a challenge, friends. Get big thoughts of God in your prayer life. Make that the thing that you're looking for and seeking beauty in. And you'll know joy. And God will just bless your heart and bless your life and intoxicate your heart with His own beauty. And you'll enjoy Him. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray then that as we have taken a look at a very practical aspect of enjoying You, that You'll give us the discipline to do this. And Father, I pray that because we live under a terrible delusion that such effort will be unrewarding. Lord, we live under the delusion that if we would take our eyes off ourselves, that we would lose all joy. Father, remind us that all joy is to be had as we gaze upon Your beauty. And then, Lord, as we go to You in prayer, even this very week, we pray that You will give us the grace to take our eyes off ourselves and fix them on You, to behold Your beauty. And Lord, as we do that, to experience the delight that comes from the sight of that beauty. And so I pray You will hear and bless, open eyes, reveal Your beauty, we pray. Because, Lord, that's what we want, one thing we want, one thing we desire, to behold Your beauty. And do that, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.